Welcome to Geeks of North, the Hobby and Gaming Podcast, La Belle Pervaise. This week I'm here with Antoine, and we're talking about Arena Rex and Captain Con. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio. You may remember me from such other podcasts as News of the North.
Or Guilds of the North, yeah.
Possibly Gears of the North. And, of course, Geeks of the North. So, I'm joined tonight by my... I don't know why I'm speaking like Captain Kirk with the dramatic pauses. I'm joined tonight by my wondrous co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
How's it going, Antoine?
Pretty good. Long time no talk.
Yeah. Well, it's been at least 30 seconds. Yeah. We just finished recording the news, so now we're doing this. Double whammy tonight. I'm super giddy. I've had 2 hours of sleep. So, buyer beware. Oh, wait, you didn't pay anything for this show, so you get what you pay for. This is a regular show, full show. We're going to do our cool stuff on the web. Then we're going to talk some hobby stuff.
I even have a hobby tip.
Wow.
Yeah.
We could talk about everything I've painted in the last 5 months since we recorded, but that would take 3 days. So we're going to do a condensed version of stuff for hobby.
Yeah, we need.
And then our main topic, we're going to wing it. So this should be an interesting episode, folks. Stick around, I promise. It'll be good.
So
Antoine.
Yeah.
Cool stuff on the web.
So for this episode, I want to point you out to a giant board of a Mario Kart real 3D game, 3D playable game. So the guy got some little carts from, I think, Tomy, a Japanese company, in little eggs, kind of Kinder Surprise carts. And he made a game around those. So he made a full 4x6 board that looked like a Mario Kart real track, but in foam and plastic, playable with the tiles on the road. He modified rules for formality to add the Mario Kart feel with the weapons and stuff like that. And the board is gigantic. It goes, there's loops, it goes over stuff under a mountain. There's fireballs everywhere, lava. It's amazing. I really, really, really want to play on that board. if it's still in a store somewhere in the States, and I'm even passing anywhere close by, it's sure I'm going to stud there.
I don't think it's in the States, though. I think he's in Europe.
Oh, that's worse. No!
Because reading some of the comments, people were like, could you ship this to... Yeah, it's in Eastbourne, East Sussex.
Ah. Another reason to go to England.
Yes. Well, the next time I'm invited to Tea with the Queen, I will go check this out for you.
Thank you,
Paul. But no, it is totally cool. It is, yeah. Some people have far more time than I do. And they put it to good use by making, you know, Mario Kart. That's all I'm saying.
Really good use.
Yep. It's better than anything I've done in my free time lately. yeah, so that was an awesome, cool stuff on the web. Thank you very much, Antoine. I guess that takes us to hobby time.
Wow.
So, yeah, hobby time. I've painted, I don't know, but 100 and something mercenary models for War Machine. I've painted 50-ish Grimkin models for War Machine. What else have I painted? I think I painted some 40k stuff.
Most probably.
I've assembled some Arena Rex. That was last night, so it's fresh in my memory. Yeah. Tons and tons and tons of painting. Long story short, I was getting ready for a War Machine tournament, and I was trying to help a teammate get ready by painting his army. And I painted a bajillion things, got super sick, didn't end up going to the tournament. So I paid for a tournament, a hotel room, and food that I gave to another man to replace me on the team. Which is fine. But yeah, I missed out on everything, which kind of sucks. It made me quite sad. Well, then I saw the team results, and I was kind of happy I missed it. No, I'm just kidding. the team did a little bit better than we expected. So they did not come in dead last. Pardon me. my plague-ridden children have made me sick. So they did not come in dead last, which is cool.
Yeah, they even won the round.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it doesn't sound like much, but when you're a bunch of casual players, you know, it's not really expected for you to go and win tournaments, right? So, no, it was very cool. And, yeah, I've been playing a lot of War Machine, you know, because I've been hobbying it, but I've been playing it, practicing lists for the tournament and stuff. And, yeah, I've been playing lots of games. Last week, I actually went and played some War Machine. We have a local gaming group that meets in someone's basement. He's got like 6 or 7 tables set up. It's pretty awesome. And I was playing there, and I get accused of playing like a competitive list. So this wounded me deeply. I mean, the list, I guess, could be seen as fairly competitive because there was a bunch of good models in it. So that's fine. I've decided to shelf that army for now. And I bought a new army this week that I'm going to paint up in the next few weeks. And I thought I'd be something a little less competitive. So if you play War Machine, I'm going to play Nemo 3 and Signar.
Yeah, less competitive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to pair it with some Siege and Gravediggers theme list. So that'll be a little less competitive.
Yeah, full casual.
Yeah, full casual. So it was fun. Actually, and Nemo, I've got 2 lists with him. Only one of them is in Storm Division with 2 Storm Striders. The other one is in Heavy Metal with only 1 Storm Strider. So clearly non-competitive. See? I can be non-competitive. I'm going to be non-competitive all over their faces. No, okay. I'm not bitter. It's all good. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to putting that stuff together. I've had a Signar army kind of, sort of painted, kind of, sort of being worked on forever. And it's a good palette cleanser because painting Merc stuff is, there's only so many green models I want to paint, and I'm going to paint some blue for a while.
You're not keeping with your original yellow?
No. For one, I can't duplicate that color anymore.
Oh.
I don't know what I used to paint it because it was painted so long ago. And I've tried all kinds of different paints. I cannot find it. It may have been that old GW Foundation paint, Yandan Yellow, which is slightly different, slightly more mustardy color than the replacement color for it.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing quite lines up. And also my painting style's changed.
Oh yeah,
so, that's for sure. I mean, the other models were fine. They're very clean. But there's no shading. There's nothing to it. No highlighting, no, so. Pardon me, to go back and touch those up to bring them up to current level, then paint the whole new, like, and yellow's a pain to paint, so. I'm just gonna paint some Signar blue, a poor man's version of Yom stuff, because his stuff is gorgeous. And, to start that off, I painted 16 Trencher models last weekend for fun, so. As a palette cleanser.
You have a strange way to palette cleanse by doing more of the same, I find. After painting, 20 Elomens, 10 Elomens, and a bunch of Grimkin Infantry, you go for models that are clearly similar, but just less zombified.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm a creature of habit, Antoine. So what can I say? Yeah, we're getting ready for Adepticon. I'm actually leaving for Chicago next Tuesday. We're driving down, me and my buddy Ben. And I can't decide what I want to take. I think I'll probably just take my Mercs, since they're pretty much full painted. Though I'm going to try to get my Trenchers finished so I can take a Lili's Resistance theme. Oh.
Yeah.
So once I get the Trenchers done for that, I can take some Stormblades, which I have painted. And that should line up pretty well. So that'll be cool. It'll be a fun trip going down there. Gonna play some War Machine, play some Guild Ball, play some Arena Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I'm going to spend some time with some of my favorite painters while I'm down there. Jim and Kathy Wapple, Jessica Rich, Mr. Justin from Secret Weapon Miniatures, Elizabeth Beckley. And I'm really looking forward to trying, it's going to come to me in a second, Wander, the board game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a cooperative dungeon crawl game with anthropomorphic animals. We actually did an episode, we interviewed Jonathan and his partner, Keith. Had to pause for a second because I'm like, is it Heath? Is it Keith? He hates one. He likes one's actually his name. I couldn't remember which one is which.
Heath Foley, not Keith Foley. So
it's Heath.
Heath, yeah.
Okay. I don't know why it's so hard for me. I'm sorry, Heath. If you listen to this, which you likely won't, but if you do, I'm sorry. I don't know why I always confuse those two. Anyway, yes, Heath Foley. You know, and I know the man. I talked to him like a week ago. Because they're actually releasing a bust. They worked with Big Child Creatives to release a bust of Mary Fixit, I think is her name, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And it looks super cool, and I have reserved one. So, yeah, I was speaking to him last week, so I clearly know the man's name. I just suck with names. But yeah, so that's gonna be a fun time. And yeah, get some painting done while I'm there too. Because that's a big part of that event for me. There's a huge hobby area, and I basically set up shop in it.
And going by car, you won't be limited in bringing your painting supplies anyway. So.
No, that's true. I'm going to bring my my paints, my airbrush and compressor probably, and even some oil paints to try some new techniques out. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's about it for hobby and gaming, without going into too much detail because there's too much to cover.
Yeah.
Yep, getting lots of stuff done. What about you, Antoine?
Less than you did, for sure. Maybe a bit more diverse, though. I don't remember everything. It's been too long. Painted for a bunch of games. Did a big rush of painting in January for Captain Con, which we attended. Because I wanted to play all the games we don't often play here, either because we lack players or people lack interest in playing those more indie games. So I finished a lot of my monkeys for Pulp City, so I have enough to play fully painted now, which I'm really happy with. And they came out great. I'm really happy with them. Painted some Arenarex. Didn't end up painting enough to play it, but it's on the way there. And I also painted a lot of my Relic Knights, my Shattered Sword Paladins. There was an event there on the Sunday, and I wanted to... They're not finished. None of those models are finished, or maybe one. I think I finished the Cypher. Woo! Smaller model in the list. But the rest are all base-coated, and they have finished bases. So even in the pictures, people don't really see that they're not done.
Well, the base is a really high contrast to the rest of the model, right?
Yeah.
Because the model's like a darker purple, and the base is like a bright gray comparatively.
Yeah.
So the bases just catch your attention.
Mm-hmm. And as the bases are fully done, it helps. More recently, I've painted a couple models, weird West models. So I painted one of the Call Girl by Bombshell Miniatures. And I painted a Jackalope by Stonehaven. Because maybe a couple of weeks ago, I got Dracula's America, the Weird West game by Osprey. And I was in the mood for that style. And just going through my lead pile, I stumbled upon those two. And I was able to try the game last week and really, really liked it. So I'll be on the lookout for more Weird West miniatures.
Well, at Adepticon, Patrick Keith is going to be there.
Yeah, but Patrick has a lot of stuff of all varieties, but I think that's the only purely Western model I saw in the
line. I've got one.
Yeah?
I've got a gunslinger, a girl. She's got two pistols, little cigarette in her mouth, duster, cowboy hat.
I need to look again at the website then because I missed her.
Now, she's funny because she's not actually sculpted by Patrick. She's one of the only models in his range that isn't sculpted by him.
No, okay. I'll take a look.
Now, I'm going to find her for you while you're talking.
Yeah. Outside of painting, but still hobby, I got back a bit more into sculpting. So I think last time we recorded, I was working on a conversion for a Dark Eldar mixed with Captain Arlok. And that's been done. It was supposed to be a simple conversion. It ended up being a 90% risk cult. So doing so much, it really got me back into it. And since then, I've completed maybe 4 or 5 new sculpt, cartoon platypus. I just finished a cartoon unicorn, a bit bigger, like a Stitch stuffies. What else did I do? Some piece for friends, like a icon, a fertility ice, old style, like ancient fertility icon for his bases, for his trollbloods, based on a pendant on a model, working on a cartoon koala, did a goblin pirate fish buckler, or swashfishler, I don't remember which one I used.
Swashfishler,
yeah. A little pirate, goblin pirate using a fish for end-to-end combat. So a bunch of different models. I'm trying new techniques too. So it's pretty fun.
And the results have been outstanding.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy because it's getting easier as I go. And I have a bit more control on the detail. Trying new material also helped. Now I know some mix that I like better than other. So right now I'm mainly missing a couple of equipment pieces I need to custom made and maybe get the fresher green stuff. The one I have is probably 16 year old. Was kept in the freezer most of that time, so it's not that bad. But I'm pretty sure if I got the a new one, it wouldn't be bad.
It'd be a little softer.
Yeah. Especially, the main problem is I got the tube one, so the big tubes. So the middle is still fresh, but I need to pay really close attention to, like, remove all the outside because that one hardened, so it doesn't mix properly.
Right.
So that's a bit of a pain. So. Yeah. But,
yeah. So I actually sent you links to two other models from Bombshell.
Oh, okay.
Adelaide Winchester is the one I was thinking of, the gunslinger that I painted. And the other one is Eloise Covington, who is not really... She could pass as, like, saloon girl with a pistol.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one I saw. The other, the gunslinger I missed. Yeah. Yeah, I'll think about it.
Yeah, the gunslinger...
I'm not sure still which faction I'm gonna get into for Dracula's America. So I'm not sure, like, other gunslinger will fit. There's a pretty wide diversity. So...
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the main book has 6 different factions, and not all of them are using, like, regular cowboys or regular weird Wild West models. So some have pretty specific teams, air zombies or cultists and stuff like that. So... I need to settle on that before I start buying. So I'm not even sure I'm going to use the one I already have. Except the Jackalope is a random encounter, so that's fine. But if I have at least something that's akin to regular cowboys, the cowgirl I painted is going to be probably my boss. I really like the model.
She'll be in the list.
Yeah. Whatever. Again. So hobby-wise, that's about it. The rest were games. A lot of games of a lot of different different settings. Tried a bunch of stuff too. Dracula's Mirroring Car being one of them. And played, like, when we went to Captain Con, I think I played like 9 different games over the weekend.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, something like that. A lot of Company of Irons in the last month. Some Guild Ball, some War Machine.
Yeah, I ordered Company of Iron, so I'll be picking that up.
Oh, you did?
So we can play some games. Yep. I'll have my
deck.
We
could already play with what you have.
Well, I don't have the deck.
You don't need it. It's one per player. It's one per game. It's not per player.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, so, fooey.
Well, you need it if you want to play it with other people, so.
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
You at least needed it for that.
Yeah.
What? Oh, another thing that a pretty cool thing I received GKR Heavy Eater, so Giant Killer Robot by Weather Workshop. That's a robot fighting game, like a mecha fighting board game with giant miniatures. And when I say giant, it's giant. They are towering over Heavy Warjacks. Yeah, pretty like not double the size, but almost.
Well, they're about 5 inches tall, aren't they?
Yeah, so around that, maybe four or five. Yeah,
and they look pretty cool.
The quality is super good. We played a game with Steven Francois, one of our hobby night after a Gilball game, and it was fun.
You guys seem to be doing lots of laughing.
Yeah,
I was getting the crack kicked out of me by Yom.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah, another fun. I really want to retry it now that I had at least a game. I'm gonna reread the rules, see what I missed or didn't, and also we'll go back in the game before a bit less gung ho. I was in the middle of the both of the other guy and got just whacked.
Well, these things happen.
Yeah, but it was really enjoyable. I really liked it.
So. Yeah, like I said, looks like you guys are having a lot of fun. A lot of cool components.
Yeah, yeah. The four big models, the big robots are pre-painted, but the rest they have like support pieces. So smaller robots that are at least color coded. Really cool cards. They have the
buildings.
The buildings are cool. I saw some. I passed on it because I didn't want to invest too much during the Kickstarter. In case I didn't like the game, but they also have the plastic or resin. I'm not too sure. I think it's resin, but resin building. So they're all textures on the outside of, instead of being just a plastic topper and bottom with cardboard for the,
right.
The main body. They have a plastic piece with texture windows and stuff like that on it. So they look really good. I saw some pictures of the final products. And yeah, if I play at least another game or two and don't get bored or with the game, I'm pretty sure I'm going to invest in that pack when it comes to retail.
You're weak, Antoine.
Ah, yeah.
Says the guy with like 5 or 6 full War Machine armies.
Mm-hmm. And a lot more than that.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I have variety. You have depth.
Yes, yes, exactly. And that's why we make a good team for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, speaking of thing to buy, I'm still looking at Deep War, and I found somebody local who have some to offload, so I'll probably have some fishies soon. I just every time I see something for Deep War comes out, I love the manuals. I love the concept. So, yeah. I don't know anybody who would really play it with me. But just painting them, hobbying, doing maybe some terrain.
Well,
I love it.
They should be at Adepticon, because usually demoing it there. Is there something you'd like? An individual model or something you'd want to paint or that I could pick up for you?
Maybe. I'll need to look at the list.
My treat.
They My have gift so much to you. Stuff.
My gift to you. I will buy you a Deep Horse model to paint.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. You're already doing other commissions for me or other...
errands. I'm running some errands
for you on there. Errands, yeah. I wasn't going to say ninja shopping.
Yeah, ninja shopping is about it.
Yeah. So
well, those awesome goblins, right? Those are going to be cool.
Yeah. And ninja dropping, too, because the
unicorn
did cast well. So
you have that unicorn is...
You have to buy and give for me.
Yeah. We have to see how many of those unicorns you can cast. I want to buy a couple from you.
The mold should work for about 20, so before I have to do another one.
Okay, that's good to know, because I would like to get one to Liz, because I think she'd enjoy painting it.
Yeah, for sure. Or in Mark, if you see Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, that's a good fit for him.
He's teaching a class, so he should be there.
Oh, good.
And I was gonna say, and Mark Maxey would probably like one too, because totally his thing. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. The question is, can I cast those before you leave, and see you before you leave for Adepticon, though.
Well, I'm only leaving next Tuesday, and I'm here all weekend next weekend.
So, we'll plan something.
So, we should be able to get together. This should work.
Yeah. And
do a hobby night or something.
Yeah, that would be good. I need to do some, because with February, I didn't touch a brush. Well, except the first couple of days, because we were painting a bit at Captain Con, just to finish the models for the Renegade Knight event on the Sunday. But
yeah, that's
the
right.
Only painting I did all month. The rest was all sculpting for me. So I'm just getting back into it with the couple of Weird West models. But even now, I'm already back to sculpting. So.
Well, new addictions, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that doesn't help my miniatures get painted for the team tournament
War Machine. True.
So I need to assemble some models and try a list, because I'm trying to a new caster or a new warlock. So I have no idea what I want to play with him. I need to try it out, because the last time I tried it failed miserably. So.
Well, that's the nice thing. Since I'm playing my mercenaries at the tech, you know, it's mostly all done.
Yeah.
So I may have to paint one or two models. But that's really it. Hopefully, the tech is in the beginning of June, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate. It's around the same time as Lock and Load, right?
I have no idea when it is this year. So.
Yeah. No, because I was thinking with the Crucible Guard releases, the Toro comes out, which is the new Crucible Guard / Mercenary Warjack.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks cool. And I really hate the plastic Nomad kit. I think it looks terrible compared to the old metal one. So I've got two of the old metal Nomads, and I really need more. But I don't want to buy more. But I need something that's a little less costly than a Mangler. Mm-hmm. At 15 points. And the Toro fits in at 13 points. So the Nomad's 11, the Toro's 13, the Mangler's 15. And the Toro has some interesting rules too. It's got countercharge and stuff on it. So
yeah, I quickly glanced at it. So
it's got one more armor and one more defense than a Nomad, and countercharge for 2 points more. You know, it's not as good as a Mangler, but you know, if sometimes a Mangler just doesn't fit in the list, right?
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to picking up a couple of those. And then, of course, there's also the fact that Lately's Resistance can use the Crucible Guard models. So
another reason to get some.
Well, you know, just saying. It may happen. I can't commit, but...
knowing you, it's already done.
there is a possibility. Antoine, that wounds me. You wound me, sir.
Like I said, depth. More factions for the same game.
But at least at the rate I'm painting stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never win an award for my painting, but not many people can say they have, you know, two or three full paint armies at any given time. So I'm pretty happy with that.
You keep saying that, and you got a silver at the Reaper, so.
No. Yeah, but that model's painted better than most of my other stuff, right? Like, my armies are well painted. I'll tell the story. Remind me during the second half, we're talking about Captain Con.
Yep.
Remind me to tell the story of Yom and me playing again.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
That is an awesome one. Actually, are we done hobby and
yeah, I think so. Games? We might finish that with the hobby tip.
Yeah, sure. Go.
Okay, so doing so much sculpting, I've been jumping around in the Facebook group about sculpting, watching videos. Shout out to Tom Mason and his Miniature Super Sculpting Show. I want to have the right name. So the Mini Sculpting Super Show by Tom Mason. Really great videos about sculpting. Love them. Got a Patreon, so if you're into sculpting, look at it, take a look and take part in the Patreon M if you can, and give a couple of bucks his way and look at it. However, the tip I wanted to mention is for people who do just a bit of sculpting, do conversion, stuff like that, if you find green stuff a bit hard to work with, because it's too rubbery, too elasticy, and doesn't have enough work time. Those are great points for green stuff when you know how to use them and when they are what you need. However, for conversion, you cannot go with Fimo and other oven cured putty because you cannot put most of your plastic miniatures in the oven. It's going to destroy them, or even resin. However, you can get some of those properties by mixing some of your oven cured putty, like Beast Putty or Fimo, in your green stuff. If you go for about a third of what I use is Beast Putty, so I'm just going to say that, but so a third of Beast Putty clay, third of yellow, and third of blue, it will still mix and work like green stuff, but a bit softer, a bit easier to work around with, a bit of easier to get a nicer exterior and mix together in, with previous steps.
Like a smoother finish.
Yeah, smoother finish. Yeah, it's easier to smooth out. That's what I was looking for. And it has a slightly longer working time. The only bad part, it also has a longer curing time. So when you're done with a piece, you need to wait a bit longer. However, it does cure fully. So even by having clay in it, it will still cure, but you get to have easier to work with green stuff.
Well, that is a good tip.
Yeah.
I'd heard of people doing it, but I had no idea what the proportions were, so it's nice to know.
Yeah, I read up to half and half, but I think if you go that route, you might have to still bake it a bit to be sure it's fully cured. However, by doing a third like I've been doing, I had no problem, and it cured fully completely, and I don't have any marks or soft spot in it. So,
yeah, that's super cool to know. I'll never use that because I suck at conversions and modeling.
Yeah, you asked me to do it for you. So.
That's right. Hey, I know my weaknesses.
Yeah. I have a model of yours too.
If you need 45 models painted in a week and a half or 2 weeks, you let me know.
Yes.
If I need something gap filled or whatever, I will talk to you.
Yep.
There we go.
To each his force.
Exactly. All right. So why don't we take a break? And then we'll come back and we'll talk a little about some Captain Con and maybe our winning game from the weekend. All right, so we will be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right. It's been several weeks, but we're going to talk about this anyway, because we don't care. So, Captain Con 2018. We did a road trip.
Yes. Went there with Yom.
That's right. We had Yom the Machine in the back, and Antoine and I up front, and we did our little six-hour leisurely drive to Warwick, Rhode Island.
Yeah, leisurely too. That's the important part.
Yeah, driving back was fun. We'll get to that afterwards. So, yeah, we drove down. Got there around midnight, I think. Midnight, 1 a.m., something like that.
Yeah, something.
Because we left late in the afternoon.
After midnight,
We ate dinner here, then we went down. Yeah. Not much to say about the drive. It was a drive. Got there, got a hotel, or had our hotel room, whatever. Day one, went to the con. 30 seconds into the con, I got accosted. The problem with going to these cons and people knowing you or recognizing you is that it's hard to say no, especially when it's Seppi, and he hunts you down, and he wants you to play a new game. And so you have to.
Yes.
So we sat down, and we played a little game that's going to come to Kickstarter later this year called Processing. How would you describe Processing, Antoine?
We are playing aliens, invaders, but they have a bunch of different factions, and they don't want to do all the same thing with the inhabitants of Earth. However, they also have a big problem. They cannot differentiate between the different inhabitants. So for them, cows or hipsters are about the same thing. But they don't all like them as much. So what That's you right. have to do is to differentiate between the two with every cars and try to either have them processed for meat, have them probed for information, or just free them, because depending on your alien faction, you like freed cow, but you like processed hipsters. But yeah. However, it's not the case for everyone. So you are trying to maximize your points for each faction. You have a bunch of faction Eastern, but you plan, you try to have the best the best lineup of cows and hipsters in front of you, and whatever happens to them.
That is the strangest, most disjointed explanation ever. I love it. So basically, as you were saying, there's two life forms that stand out on Earth, hipsters and cows. I'm not sure how hipsters get to be their own life form, but whatever.
It's all that's left.
And yeah, and each alien race that you're trying to appease, because you're not actually playing the aliens, you're playing people trying to appease the aliens.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that, though.
Yeah, I think that's what he explained to me afterwards. About it. Yeah. And you basically have little colored cubes to place votes. And you go around, every player votes on everything. And the idea is that you're trying to basically vote through the things that your aliens want.
Yeah, to go with their agenda.
So that they don't kill you. Right? So you're trying to complete their agendas, exactly. Very simple game. Tons of fun. I mean, he makes all kinds of other fun games. He makes Squirrel or Die or End of the Line. And both got really good, received really well, I should say. So I'm really excited about Prostings. I think it's going to be a lot of fun with like my wife and you know her family / friends, because they're not super gamery people. But it's a type of game where the visual, the mental visual is all you really need to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really only three choices in the game, so it's kind of hard to screw it up. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you can still put a cube on a card and vote for something, and you know you'll figure it out. And it led to our favorite phrase of the weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Which was probe the cow.
Yes.
I mean, we chanted it everywhere we went. So it was good. It was fun. So that is going to be a game to watch out for. And I don't imagine it'll be too much. It'll probably be like 25, 30 bucks or something.
It's card and some cube, so it's
yeah,
sure.
I can't see it be expensive. Yeah. But worth every penny. So, yeah, CaptainCon, I mean, we hadn't been to CaptainCon before, we'd been to TempleCon.
Mm-hmm.
CaptainCon's obviously a very, very much a smaller convention, because it's focused only on gaming, it doesn't have all the extra stuff going on with the whole,
steampunk cosplay.
Steampunk gothic thing yeah. going on, yeah, exactly. But still lots of fun. Lots of tournaments going on, especially for War Machine and Guild Ball, there's a fair amount of Guild Ball going on too.
Yeah. That was also my first convention since Gen Con, the Gen Con we went together at the basic start of this podcast.
That was what, 2014?
Yeah.
2015?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Been a long time.
Yeah. So, my last con was with you at the start of the show, and now, after a long hiatus, we're back with that con, with a new con again, so.
Yep. Yep. Overall, I thought, I mean, we could go day by day.
Oh, no, we don't need that.
But I mean,
that in detail.
I mean, there was a lot of neat stuff we tried there. You played a card game with Yom, I think.
Yeah, played Euro Realms by White Wizard Game.
Yeah, and you guys seem to have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a fantasy version of Star Realms.
Okay.
Almost identical in how it works, just some new elements to it. And one of the big thing is you also have character packs to have custom starting cards. So we didn't play with those, but they are available and pretty cheap. So
it's like expansion packs. Like. Yep. So basically themed expansion packs for like
But they only modify your starting end, so it's okay. Small boosters.
It's a deck building game, right?
Yeah, it's a deck building game like Star Realms. So you are buying cards that go into your discard pile, and you redraw new ends every turn, and try to clean out the bad cards you have or the less effective cards by buying new ones. So
that's a typical card deck building mechanics. Yeah. And the artwork looked pretty cool.
Yes.
The game, like the card quality was good. Like overall, and it was really inexpensive. It was like $20 or $25, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. And I have another of their game. Well, I have two. I have Star Realms and Epic.
Oh, right. So, Epic was a Kickstarter-backed one, right?
Yes. And I'm pretty sure Hero Realms went to Kickstarter too. And they share the same faction and visual with Hero Realms. It's the same major iconography and stuff like that. So
okay. So if you played one, you can kind of figure out how to play the other?
Not how to play it. If you play Star Realms, you'll know how to play Hero Realms. However, if you play Epic, you know the faction and colors coding. Okay,
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was fun. That was one of the multiple demos we got. We demoed Arena Rex.
Yes, with Walker.
Yep.
Well, it wasn't so much a demo as you guys get to play a full game with three models as opposed to a demo because there was no one else at the booth at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, with Walker's help.
Because I was waiting, so that didn't feel like a demo.
It was longer than a demo for sure.
No, I took a nap. I had some food. I found a cure for cancer. You guys were still playing. No, it wasn't that long. But, and Arena Rex was like the win of the weekend, right? Like,
yeah.
I didn't get a chance to actually officially demo the game. One night you guys were busy and I was in the hallway and Walker was demoing it to some people and they weren't really grasping it. So, but from watching him try to demo it to them, I eventually picked up the game and basically walked them through playing each other. So I get to play both sides of the game against myself. Which was kind of interesting, and it saved Walker because he was done.
Yeah.
Like, it was the end of the day. He'd been doing it for, like, 7 hours or whatever, and these people just were not understanding because they'd been playing War Machine and stuff for, like, 20 hours straight, and they had no brain power left either. So it was a horrible... It was like a demoer's nightmare.
Yeah. We are all already invested in our interaction in the group. We bought it a year or two ago. You bought some Adepticon. We bought at least Starter Faction, everyone, during a sale. But we hadn't tried it yet. So that was the good way. We all at least glanced at the rules. But that let us try the game with somebody who knew it. Not just knew it, but wrote it.
Yep.
And so we had the right way to start at it. So now we just have to finish assembling and painting our stuff. I'm almost there. Only missing one.
Yeah, well, I assembled everything last night for one of my factions. So I got 5 models assembled.
Yeah.
Well, I got 4 from one faction and one from another.
Almost painted. So at least the basic size, I am almost ready.
I'm a little torn about painting because I don't really do NMM, at least not well. Yeah. I can do kind of chibi, crappy NMM.
Yeah, me too. That's why I went with regular metallics.
But that's just it. I'm thinking about doing regular metallics. But there's a lot of flesh tone, and flesh tone can be challenging too.
Yes, it is.
And I'm so used to airbrushing everything now that it's like, man, these models are small and they're super finely detailed. I just don't know. I'll give it a whirl. I have some flesh primer from Badger, which I thought did a wondrous job on Dan's piggyback models from Grimkin. So I will try that. And it surprised me at first because it's kind of an orangey color.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it makes sense because if you look at how most people try to paint flesh tones from a beginner point of view, is they start from like a brown and work their way up. But people aren't brown in the shadows.
No.
Because there's no brown in our basic makeup, right? There's greens, there's reds, there's blues. So the orange color gets more of a truer shade, I guess you could say, than the brown.
And worst case, you have a bunch of tangerine Trumps.
Bunch of tangerine what?
Trump.
Oh. Wow. You had to go there, eh? Yeah, that talk about unnatural coloring. Anyway.
Yeah,
hopefully they don't turn out that color. That'd be kind of depressing considering the price of those models and how nice they are. So I assembled those last night, and man, the detail level. Unbelievable. The hardest part of those models, putting them together, was taking them off the sprues without breaking them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Because that resin is very brittle. Not the worst. It's not like cheap China resin, so it's not that brittle.
But the pieces are so small.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So it's challenging. And there was a couple mistakes on my part. Luckily, they don't really show because of the way the pieces fit together. But how the models fit together surprised me, too. Because I expected to have to do some green stuff or some fiddling. And everything went together so smoothly.
Oh, I was not that lucky, though. Well, I had a lot of warping to correct and gap filling to do.
I have one warped piece, which is secondary. It's the net that I think his name is Marcus Furious is holding.
Okay,
it's kind of warped out into midair. It looks kind of weird when it's supposed to be pointing down towards the base, like it's hanging out of his hand.
Oh, it's not that bad for me.
No.
The back leg of Dexterius, the horse. So it just didn't stand up at all. They were almost rolled, both legs toward the middle, so no way he was standing anywhere. So I had to be really careful to slowly bend them out.
I don't know. Like, those are two separate pieces, right?
Yeah.
I probably would have contacted Red Republic and had them ship you new parts.
Oh, it was just bending with water, so it's not that bad.
It's not so bad. Okay.
But still. I had to be careful.
Yeah, it's a fun game. The mechanics offer... There's simple mechanics, but there's depth to them.
Yes. Yeah, incredibly violent, fast.
Yes. Yes, people die horribly and quickly.
Deep, so, yeah. You have a lot of options. However, everything is pretty simple, so...
You sound like you're describing my sex life. You know, violent, fast, and pretty deep. Sorry.
At least you have one.
It's surprising for a married man.
Yeah.
We're so terrible. It's a good thing our wives never listen to this.
Yes, it's a good thing.
Yeah. So, look over my shoulder. Yeah, no one in sight. Good. But it really... The game really caught my attention. And there's such a variety of models now. Like, the lines expanded quite a bit, so... Just even as pure painting pieces. You know, for the scale, they're excellent. And they have some larger scale models now, too. I picked up the line, which is one of their older models, but I was looking at picking up the sisters, right? So the Medusa... what are they? The Medusa is one of them. The Naga is one of them. And I can't remember what the third one is.
It's a name I can't pronounce. It's a strange Greek name. Aritia or something like that.
I was going to say, aren't they all strange Greek names? That's kind of the...
Yeah, but one is less common.
Except for the strange Amerindian names and the strange... Yeah, in fact, I picked up the kind of Amerindian, Slavic, weird hybrid faction.
Yeah, the Zephyri.
Yeah, the Zephyri. I picked them up while I was down there for Captain Con. Because I had Ludus...
The Gorgon sister.
Gorgon sisters, yeah.
So... The other one is Steno.
Was she a scorpion?
She's like a sixth arm, almost Indian.
Oh, style. Yeah, she's kind of like. I had the name. Not Vishnu. Vishnu?
Maybe.
Google, don't fail me now. Vishnu only had four arms. Shiva. Shiva, maybe? Is that the one? Where's my old copy of Deities and Demigods? That has the answers to all questions. When it comes to this stuff, anyway. She was another one with four arms, I think. Oh, well. whatever. She's a six-armed monster.
Yep.
And she's pretty cool looking.
Yeah. It's my least favorite of the three. I really prefer the Uriel, the Naga, and the Medusa.
Medusa's really nice. Yeah. Though, I'll be honest, all the transparent cloth effects intimidate me.
Yeah. I prefer the Naga, though, but she's really big, though. So
yeah.
She's pretty a challenging model to paint, too, just by sheer size and all the scales. But all three look good. And the fact that you can play just those three instead of being a six models, it's also cool. Different take on it.
Yeah, but those models are huge, and, you know. And I like the fact there's no point system in this game either.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the number of cards. So if you're playing a five-model game, and one of your models has two cards that come with it, that counts as two models. Like, it keeps it super simple. Super simple. Yeah, so I'm hoping to pick up a few more models while I'm down there. In fact, I may contact them ahead of time and be like, hey, remember me from Captain Con?
Don't you already have two factions of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I may want a
variety.
Yeah, variety. I may want to flesh out the factions a little bit. I'm not talking about picking up like another 15 models or something. I'm talking about picking up like one or two for each faction. Because in fact, my Ludus Magnus faction, I made a boo boo and picked up someone from Legio 13 without realizing, which is fine because you can mix and match models from any faction. But it's nice to not necessarily do that. And they have some really nice models that I don't have that I thought I owned. I don't know why I don't. Like Hermes from Ludus Magnus, I could have sworn I owned him. But I don't.
Don't you just lost him in your basement? Or?
No. I have all the models I'm supposed to have. Because I got four the first time I went to Adepticon. Because I had a VIP bag, so I got a free one. And then I got one Ben's coupon for the free one as well, so that was two. And then for each one I got for free, I bought one to kind of offset their loss. You know, because I don't want to take advantage of a small company. So I should have four models from there, which I do have. And then I bought an additional model, which I thought was for my faction, but it wasn't. So I have those five models, so none have been lost. Thank you very much. You're just making fun of me because I thought I'd lost one model last night and then I found out that I put it away in the wrong drawer. But at least I'd put it away.
It's not like it's uncommon with you.
You know, Antoine, we used to be friends. I don't know what happened. At one point you turned on me and it's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, sure.
What happened to you? You used to be cool.
I don't think I ever was cool.
Yeah, and I put together, like I said, I put them together last night, and one of the models, I've put it together, and it so doesn't look... Like, she's got these two little feathers sticking out of her helmet, which are going to break off in any second. But I'm looking at the way the studio model looks with those feathers in the helmet, and the way mine looks, and I went wrong somewhere. I
don't know where. You didn't do it them right?
It does not appear so.
Hmm.
It does not appear so.
That can happen.
Yeah.
Oh. What else stand out for you while at Captain Con?
You know, it can't all be roses. I was a little disappointed in the open play area.
Oh yes, yeah.
There were some tables there. But there was practically no terrain, and it wasn't really well organized. And there's like a reward system for playing games.
Mm-hmm.
But the desk for that was like on the other side of the convention from where the open play area was, so it was kind of weird. And it seemed strange to go to the open play area and have a bunch of blank tables with nothing on them. And I think the reason being that with Steamroller 2017 for War Machine, the terrain requirements went up quite a bit from previous years. So, I think they had all the same terrain they had always had, but now because they had to put, you know, two or three more pieces per table, when you're making 50 or 100 tables, that's a lot of terrain.
Yeah.
So I think they basically, they didn't have enough to cover the open play area and the new tournament requirements for War Machine.
That makes sense.
So I had to go and buy, which I don't regret because it's a nice product. I bought some flat terrain from Broken Egg Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they make great stuff. So
yeah, what I found there was missing, and that's not under on them probably because I don't know who owned them. But my last experience at that venue was at Templeton where they had the scenario tables.
Mm-hmm.
The scenic tables full of
the one with the giant colossal.
Yeah,
the one with the dock, cave one.
So
yeah,
those were fun. That's what I mostly played. So not having any of those there, or similar terrain. They had two tables for the multicaster game, the Thunderdome. But that's not a format I enjoyed that much, and I didn't bring enough models to even play it. So yeah, I would have preferred just the scenario tables, but. If they're not the owners of them, I can't badmouth them for not having.
Yeah, there's only so much they can do, right? If it's not theirs.
Yeah, just a remark that was a big pull for me.
Yeah, that can see that being disappointing. All right, what else went on there? I mean, you know, the usual stuff. We went to Iggy's, got some chowder.
Yeah. As usual, we played in the D6 Generation Mega Battle.
Yeah, that's right. We tried Rune Wars.
Yep.
Which we were all kind of let down by. It was a lot of fun. Many thanks to Russ and Craig.
And the experience was fun. The game itself, like the rules, not sold on them.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But there were some weird things, like, you know, you... Because it uses the pre-plotted movement, like from X-Wing and stuff, it uses that flight path system, a variant of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say you're going to advance and charge a unit, let's say. But then that unit charges you first. Well, then your action is wasted because you selected a charge, but you can't charge a unit you're engaged with, so you just don't do anything. Like, stuff like that felt clunky and weird. Like, why can't I just attack?
Yeah, not having fallback or default options.
I could see if I told my guys that they were going to turn around and walk the other way and they get attacked first, they lose their turn because they can't run away.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't attack either. But if I was prepping for an attack, it seemed weird that there was no fallback to combat, regular basic combat, if you know something happened.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I think the way the armies were built themselves was not necessarily ideal because they were trying to maximize point cost to get to a certain point level. So in Rune Wars, if you take, like, say, a unit of four knights, let's say they cost, a unit of four costs 60 points, but a unit of eight might cost 100 points. So it's more points efficient to take the bigger unit.
Mm-hmm.
But they intentionally broke stuff up into several smaller units to make more points so they hit their target of points that they wanted to play. Which meant you had a bunch of, like, small units kind of running into each other.
Yeah, because we were playing on the format that's usually for half the point we were playing.
Yeah.
Having more smaller units made it a bit harder, more difficult to move around.
And then terrain, you know, because of the fact you have to be all in or all out of terrain, there's no... there was just some strange factors. The rules didn't scale to that size very well.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's potential there.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly think as a starter game for people, it has potential. Like, if you're new to miniature wargaming, I could see that working for people. The other thing that surprised me was the price of the miniatures. Now, I know the box set was fairly expensive, but it comes with a ton of stuff. When I found out afterwards what the price of the models were, it seemed to be more expensive than I expected.
Might be because of the way they do it with all the cards and extra stuff, a bit like the X-Wing?
Well, that's just it, yeah. Like a unit of four knights, I think he said was about 25 US, or maybe even 29 US. But if you want to have a unit of, you know, 12 models, you're looking at $75 US. I mean, this is going to sound like, you know, a low blow, but that's worse than GW pricing. Right? So... that's a little rough. Yeah, it's like the more models you get, the less cost efficient the game becomes. Which seems strange. But on the whole, I thought the models looked nice. I hadn't seen them painted up in person.
Yeah, they look good.
I thought they looked good.
I really like the elves.
Yep, I thought they had a nice aesthetic to them. Very traditional high elfy. Wood elfy, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the experience was fun. Like,
absolutely.
They ran it super well. We finished everything they had in mind in time. Add price for everyone. So.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. We walked away with board games. I get this weird board game that we'll probably never play. I picked up based solely on the fact that it was made by published by Stronghold Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they published a lot of good stuff. And then I kind of regretted that choice afterwards, and I went back to the table and started reading the box. And it looks like a very complex, weird kind of game. And even Russ looked at it, oh yeah, that's an interesting game. It's really kind of strange where you have to do stuff. And that was like the best thing you could come up with to say about it. So,
another great sell.
Yeah, exactly. What else do we do? You guys entered the painting contest.
Game at the painting contest. Before we go to the painting contest, just mention one last game. I think that's my highlight of the weekend. I was able to play Pulp City with Devin Peterson, one of the developer on Pulp City.
Yep.
Yeah. That was one of my main events for the weekend, going to play Pulp City there. Devin brought stuff to do a bunch of tables, a lot of terrain on there. He owns practically everything for the game except the last few releases. And we had a game together, and two people... couple of games... I played maybe an handful of games before going to the con in the last year, maybe year or two.
Mm-hmm.
We're always learning back the rule because we don't play often enough, and it can be a bit slow. However, playing with Devin, so him knowing fully the rules and me having read them back before the con to be sure I was up to date, the game played really fast. So it fit the cinematic fast style of Spiral Combat I was expecting of it. It was really fun.
They have some really nice models too.
Yeah,
like some of the sculpts are not great. I'm not gonna lie, but some of the more recent stuff they've done looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed. And Devin's is a lot of fun. Like I met him a couple years ago at TempleCon actually,
mm-hmm.
And just a fun guy, great guy. Yeah, I mean, I played. I didn't demo that much stuff. I can't even remember what I demoed, but I played some games in the open area. I played against you, so I drove 6 hours to play against you. I played against Yom.
Yeah.
And this is the Yom story from earlier in the show. So we're playing a game, and it's... I think we're playing full 75 points. Yeah, it was a full 75-point game. And Yom was playing Signar, and I was playing my mercenaries. And a guy walks up, and Yom's looking down at the table he's planning. And the guy walks up and he's like, looking at my models, and he's like, wow, really nice models. And Yom, without looking up, without saying anything, he's like, yeah, thanks, man. Like, just assumes the guy is talking about him because, you know, Yom's stuff is all gorgeous. That's fine. So then I was like, Yom, he was talking about my stuff. And Yom's reaction was like, oh, okay. Like, completely, like, I'm not used to that. Like, someone else getting complimented, I just assumed it was me. Freaking Yom. But, I mean, he also got all kinds of compliments, too. And that guy actually afterwards complimented Yom's stuff because it's ridiculously well painted for play standards.
For play standards, it's out there, for sure.
Yeah. With all his conversions and, like, you know, his Warcaster's practically, you know, a sculpt from the ground up. It's like combining three different models plus a bunch of green stuff plus whatever. And I think he was playing with Dynamo in the list. Did he have Dynamo? Maybe he didn't. No, he was playing Mathematics, so he didn't have Dynamo. But he pulled it out at one point, and that model was featured in No Quarter.
Yep.
Right? He won a medal in No Quarter for it. So, you know, it's a bunch of crazy stuff.
And speaking of painting.
Yeah, yeah. Yom goes to the painting competition, just decides to win first place in everything he enters for. Antoine enters, decides to win second place, I think, in the categories you entered?
1 second and 1 first.
What was the first place for?
The epic scale stuff.
Oh, right. Oh, but that model, you know, it doesn't matter how busy that category would have been, you would have won that anyway, because who the hell blends 15mm models? Please.
Yeah. Still, it was not worth getting a medal for when I'm the only one in turn.
But at least it's a model that's worthy of that medal, right? Like, yeah. You could have got, you know, there was another category where someone came in second, and their model was far away from what the first place model looked like, right? Mm-hmm. But they went second because there was only two models in that category.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't end up getting second. I got third for my second entry. It was the Butcher's Guilds in the unit category.
Oh, I got third. Right.
That's Young right, got first with his Brewers, and there was what Eldar unit, something like that.
No, it was a gang. Weird miniatures. Malifaux. Was Malifaux crew.
Yeah, Malifaux crew. Yeah.
I think it was Death Marshals and stuff.
Yeah, that seems right. Yeah. So we got a those third models, place there.
Those models would be good for your Vampires America. Or Dracula's America.
Yeah, well, I have my Ortegas that I'm going to probably use as proxies while I think about a dedicated crew for that game.
But do you have Ophelia?
Oh, that's a gremlin.
Yeah, but they're like the gunslinger gremlins, right? The parody of the of Ophelia's.
Yeah, of the Ortegas, yes.
Ortegas, yeah.
No, I don't. I own only the Summer Tea crew, like the original goblins for the first book.
Yeah.
The gremlins. I didn't get the Ophelia box, and I already Mama, you know, bite my fingers. That's probably not the right same expression in English.
You regret it.
I regret it. Because I prefer the old aesthetic. Like, I know the miniatures themselves are not as great, but I prefer the old aesthetic for the gremlins. And now the only thing that sold is the plastic version. So,
did they resculpt them?
Everything was resculpted.
I know. I haven't followed that game since
the old game was resculpted.
Oh, I haven't followed that game since
new the original art, releases, new right? miniatures, new material, everything. So.
Yeah, because back in the day, I played the Lady Justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had Perdita and Summer Teeth. So, at least I have the Ortegas that I can use, especially with the bombshell miniature one I painted. She fits at a similar scale. So, mm-hmm. She would fit well with them.
Well, I could give you my bombshell model, and you could use it, or you could strip it and repaint it if you want and keep it.
We'll see. We'll talk.
It looks okay.
Yeah.
It was one of my 4 hour quickie paint jobs, and it got entered in a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the sculptor all annoyed, so it's gonna be worth something. Because when I came back to enter it. And he's like, you just bought this. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, it's painted already. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, let me see this. And he saw it. And he's like, I hate you. Like, what did I do? Blame Jim Wapple. It's all Jim Wapple's fault. He showed me the way.
Yeah. We spoke of Yom. He entered three categories. Entered chibi, units, and single models with his bust. So he had the Borka bust he did for a commission, but before sending it to the client, he brought it to the show for the painting contest.
Mm-hmm. So, and that model was crazy, three, crazy nice.
Won first place with all three. So,
yeah, shocking, shocking development. And that Borka bust is gorgeous. Like it is just ridiculously nice. I hate to say nice things about Yom, but I mean. He knows how to paint.
He does.
He knows how to paint, that man. Gorgeous models. And, yeah, let's see what else was there. I tried to convince Yom to pick up a bunch of Slayers at the War Store because they were like 15 bucks each. He did, but then he had such crazy buyer's remorse that he had to run off and sell them before we even left the con. I have never seen anyone feel so bad about spending, 30 bucks?
Yeah.
It was insane. It was like he'd run out and randomly bought a car or something. Like, it was weird. That's okay. He sold them back for the money he paid for them, and, you know, life was good. And then he used that money to buy dice for Arena Rex, I think.
Yes.
And somehow that was better. I don't quite get that one, but that's okay. Whatever makes him happy.
More chance that he's going to use the dice than the Slayers, though.
Okay. Possibly. Possibly. What else was there? We must have done something else there.
Oh, I played the Runic Knight.
Yes.
Yeah, I painted for it, so I played it.
Yeah, that was a weird tournament that was only quasi-run, right?
It was marked as, advertised as a tournament, and ended up more as a casual, let's play and try the new version event. I don't think I would enter an event ran by the same guy ever again. I would play with him. I would play casual game. Anything but something structured, I wouldn't enter for sure. But he, at least he got, we were what, 8 players? 6 or 8? No, 6. 6 players. We were trying the last bit of rules for the 2.0 version. I only glanced at the last, the latest revision, because they made so many change that I didn't lose interest, but there was too many change for a game that I was not playing at the moment. So,
well, there's no point to follow it if everything's going to change. It's just going to lead to confusion if you try following it too closely anyway.
Yeah, and we were not beta testing, so I just waited. But once the final version was out, I took a look, and I was not too sure about it. But after playing it, I see how they are not that dissimilar. Like, the activation queue is gone, and I was afraid that it would destroy the feel of the game. But the way that they do activation tokens now, and you don't have as many activation tokens as you have units, is pretty similar to the activation queue. So in the end, the game feels pretty similar, but it's cleaner, and it does play a bit faster. So
it's similar but different.
Yeah, it's not that different. It's just cleaner. The only main different part is the activation queue, how that process. The rest of the rules are just cleaned up version of the same. So still works with the Esper cards to pay for your effects by using your hand. So armor is a bit changed, but nothing major there. The big change is the activations, the way you activate models. The order you can pick your activation instead of being pre-planned with the activation slots. But outside of that, the game feels great. If it wasn't for the fact that the cards are not available, that like the unit cards are not formatted for ease of use, I would probably try to get some games locally. But right now, they are only like this plain text version for the beta, so not exactly usable. I was lucky, a guy on the Relic Knight group had been doing like a custom version of them for his own play group, and he did the faction I'm playing, so I had full color cards, custom that looked like playable cards instead of just having the text based version. So it made for a far better experience than I think the other people I was playing with.
Nice. Antoine with the swag.
Yeah. And I already liked the game. And the cleanup version, I liked better. So I just happy I got into the second Kickstarter. And I just wish the card would come sooner than later. However, I think they're in the second wave. Only the new 2.0 box and two player starter box and book will be in the first wave. Sadly,
okay.
So hopefully there will be a PDF that we can print and use. Because I want to play it, especially as I painted those. So for once, I painted fast a unit. I still have to do a finishing touch on them, but at least they're playable. So.
But you've got a painted unit.
I got a painted faction.
Damn it, you want to use it. Yeah, or a painted faction, I should
just
say.
Not just a unit, I got a couple units.
I found my models last night.
Oh, you did? And you just... Some minutes ago, you were complaining that I picked on you about losing your stuff.
it wasn't lost.
I was exaggerating when I said lost, but you misplace and temporarily lose models often. It's not like it's...
You win this round, Antoine. You win this round.
So you did find them back?
Both faction? I found them last night.
Yeah.
I have two factions.
Yes, you have two factions. So you didn't find them all.
No. I found them all. I just didn't look in the second bag. I assumed it was more Black Diamond. I forgot I have.
You have Corsairs too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Don't look at me with that face, Antoine. It's not my fault. I have a problem.
Yeah. I have two factions of those too, so.
Well, we backed the Kickstarter. Came with two factions.
So
I just didn't sell off all my duplicates, so I actually have playable factions.
Yeah. So that's about it. Demoed other stuff, but I don't think it's worth going through the whole list. Like you mentioned, played War Machine with you, and got a Guild Ball game into and the casual tables.
Yeah, the funniest War Machine experience of the weekend for me was Matthew McWaters, who's a local War Machine player, who is getting to be fairly well known. He found out that I wasn't really playing War Machine at the event, and randomly made me play against one of his teammates from the team tournament, where I think they went 5-0 or something in the team tournament. So I had to play this guy actually do what he was doing in the game. He was nice enough to play his worst list against me because he wanted to see what the Osram matchup would be like. So I got to play the list I knew best against the list that he felt was weaker into my caster. So I won, but I don't really take any credit for it because, you know, I could be anyone who hamstrings himself, right? So, but it was a super cool game, which is funny. I have a fear of competitive players because I don't like the pressure of playing with competitive people.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was super relaxed and, you know, he was serious about the game, but not to the point of being like completely over the top. So it was nice. Yeah. So I guess that pretty much covers the event. I'm sure we're forgetting something, but.
Oh yeah. We chat a lot with the various people. And a lot of talking, some drinking, a lot of food.
Yeah. A lot of food. Not so much drinking, but a lot of food. And then we decided on Sunday we were going to leave a little early, but we had to wait for you. And then we spent an hour waiting for
Walker
to be free so we could talk to him for a bit and pick up the Rinorex game mat. Because we stole his demo mat. Well, we didn't steal it because we paid for it, but you know what I mean. And then we started the drive home during a blizzard. And our 6-hour drive home became more like a 12-hour drive home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of brutal. Because it was like 12 hours to your house.
It was 11 hours to my place.
Yeah, 11 hours to
another
place.
Another hour from
back
my
to my house.
So.
Yeah. Because we actually had to drive basically past my house to go to your place. And then I made you... Well, you almost had to come back to my place because car was at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I was working... I worked the next morning.
Yeah.
It was insane. And I don't really want to do that again. So, of course, next week I'm driving to Chicago, where I'm likely to get caught in a blizzard both ways. But that's okay. Glutton for Punishment, I think, is the official name for my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you get stuck last time you went to Chicago because the airplanes were down? So at least by car, you might be able to leave.
Yeah, well, that was stupid because there'd been... What had happened was there was like an inch and a half of snow in the morning, so the airport shut down. So no planes came in from Montreal. By the time my flight was supposed to depart, the runways were bare, but because no plane came from Montreal to Chicago, there was no plane in Chicago to take me back home. And I had to spend the night in the airport. I spent all day that day and the night, and I flew out the next morning. It was horrible. But yes, this time that won't happen because I have a car. That's the theory anyway.
But your 15-hour drive might turn into a 30 if there's a blizzard.
Yeah, well, we're only planning on doing about 10 hours the first day, and then the remaining, you know, 4.5, 5 of the next day. So it should be good. You know, that way, if something happens and we have to cut the first day a little bit short, we can. It's not so bad. It's like we planned for it or something. Or something. All right. Is there anything else we'd like to discuss?
I think it's good. I think for our comeback after almost 5 months without recording.
Way too long.
Yeah. Maybe more than that, so...
It's like we're back from the dead or something.
Yeah, almost. At least we maintained the news and did some of the guild stuff.
Yeah. Well, we did the Guild of the North stuff when there was stuff to talk about. And actually, that was funny. People were asking where the episodes were, and it's like, but there's nothing really going on in the game, and the local meta kind of imploded.
Yeah, sadly.
So we can talk about rules changes when they come out, which we do, but the rest of the time, we don't really have a lot to add. There's just not a lot of content there. It's too bad. That's why we need to start Gears of the North, because there's always War Machine going on. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, Antoine, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, as always.
I look forward to doing this again sometime not 5 months from now.
I hope so.
All right, I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find All Us Geeks, a podcast that discusses board games, movies, television, comics, Kickstarter, and many other forms of geek culture. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.